What is happening, people, and welcome to our American Football Podcast in the End Zone UK. Week 9 of the NFL is done and over, finito, and this is our recap. I'm your host, Dom, coming to you from our In the End Zone UK headquarters, having just got back from another trip to the US, this time to New York City to watch the Bills take on the New York Jets. I will definitely be talking about that a little bit later, but first, let me introduce, as usual, across the mic from me, it is his birthday today. He is older than God's dog. It's Big Dave. How's it going, Dave? Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I feel another year older. Sad state of affairs when you don't actually remember it's your birthday, but hey ho. I think dementia is maybe kicking in, or Alzheimer's might be kicking a little bit early, but hey ho.
That would be massively early for you. You don't look a day older, Dave. I'll just tell you that right now.
No, still bald.
Still a fine specimen. Still a fine, bold specimen of a man. But yeah, nice. Birthday, and we're still doing the podcast. That's dedication. That is.
It's almost as though I've got nothing better to do.
Yeah. Well, let's hope this is going to be a birthday bash to remember. But I would say that this week, you must be pretty chilled, right? The Giants, the New York Football Giants, were on a bye this week. Did you get a chance to have a stress-free week of watching your team play football and win by minuscule points?
It was good. It was like a nice detox week where you can just let everything recover. Mm. And not have to stress about the Giants going into fourth quarter losing and then having to pull it out of the bag last minute.
Mm. Well, at least they are pulling it out of the bag and you're still getting those wins. So week 10 is about to start, and let's hope that the Giants can pull another win out for you for a birthday present from Danny Dimes, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, we're playing the Texans, so it's probably going to happen.
Mm. I'd hope so, wouldn't you? After the Texans, watching them this week look woeful. So yeah, I mean, week 9 started in an entertaining fashion on Thursday night this week between the Giants' divisional rivals, the Eagles. The undefeated Eagles took on the Houston Texans, and the Eagles did get the job done, as we expected. Texans put up a little bit of a fight, actually, which was interesting to see, at least at the start of the game. And then as time ticked over on that Thursday night, it became, as per usual, an inevitable Eagles win. This moved into some actually really interesting games on Sunday. I thought that this week was an interesting week. There's a lot of different stuff happening. Some teams making last minute comeback, some teams losing last minute. It was quite exciting. I'd imagine that Scott Hansen in his witching hour had a wonderful time. And then it finished on Monday night with the Ravens against the Saints. This podcast, I'm calling this one this week, Dave, The City That Never Sleeps, as I was in New York City this week for the Jets Bills game. And that also was a massive upset, and I do believe that meant that the Jets fans did not sleep in the city that never sleeps. They were up all night partying, considering the Jets were huge underdogs against the Bills, and they managed to get an upset win.
Yeah, I mean, what are they now? 6-3?
The Jets are 6-3, yeah.
Man, I think that's the same record as the Bills, isn't it?
Are they, Bills are 6-2, because they've had a bye week, so okay. Yeah.
Crazy time to be a New York football fan.
Indeed.
The Giants at 6-2, the Jets at 6-3, the Bills at 6-2. Great time to be a New York football fan.
It is, and it was a really good time to be in New York as well. It was the stadium was buzzing at the start of the game. Bills and Jets fans were giving each other shit. It was really, really interesting. I was sat there with a Seahawks jersey on.
Yeah,
I wore my Seahawks jersey and I was getting some right shit as well. Walking through the stadium. It was banter, don't get me wrong. It's a good job I'm 6'3" and look like I might be able to handle myself, because otherwise I think I'd have been in some trouble. because they really weren't enjoying the fact that I was wearing one. But I got talking to some people and they were like, hey man, why are you wearing a Seahawks jersey? I was like, I'm from the UK, bro. I'm just here as a neutral fan. Go Bills. And then I ended up looking like a right mug. But yeah, it was good fun. That stadium's amazing, Dave. You know, as I'd say, on your next birthday, we need to make a point of getting to MetLife, because, you know, I've been there twice now. You need to go at least once.
Yeah, well, I'm sat in Scotland at the minute, and it's when I say that it's not stopped raining for 30 seconds, that is legitimate. It is really? Pissed it down every single day.
Oh, man.
So I can see why they're all miserable bastards up here.
I can imagine, yeah. It's but it was far from it in New York, actually. Everybody was so happy because all the New York football teams are doing well. I'm not sure it's the same for the Knicks and the Nets at the moment, but the weather was fantastic. It was a really good time to be there. Fall, as they call it, autumn in New York is a great time to go. So for anybody who's thinking about it, get to New York, get to the MetLife Stadium and watch a game. Me and Dave will certainly be going next year to catch a New York Football Giants game. And so, yeah, it was a good time, and the stadium was rocking, and the upset of the Jets was just the icing on the cake, really. I think actually I only wanted the Bills to win because I've got Josh Allen in my fantasy team. So ultimately, and I've got a few Bills. I've got the kicker. I've got Josh Allen. I think I've got Matt Milano, but he didn't play that day. Which actually I think is one of the big reasons why the Jets were able to run all over the Bills. But I only wanted the Bills to win, so to speak, for that. Otherwise, it was a good neutral game to watch and a good locational rivalry. And the Jets winning wasn't actually a bad thing. And I think for the stadium, it was great. The Jets fans absolutely erupted at the end of the game. It was a sight to behold, and a big upset win, with the Jets winning 20 to the Bills 17, which is unusual for the Bills. They've been defeated now by only twice this year, but by both teams in their division. So they could be in a bit of trouble if it comes to playoff time and they've got to separate themselves between the Dolphins and the Jets.
Yeah, the Dolphins are the sort of dark horse at the minute. And I think you've got to start looking at putting people like Tua and even Tyreek Hill into MVP conversation, because Tyreek Hill at the minute is going off. He's on pace to average like 2,400 receiving yards.
That's madness. He probably saw what Cooper Kupp did last year and was thinking, fucking hell, he's getting all the credit. I'm going to turn the Jets on.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not... I think you'd have to give him the MVP if he gets... If he gets like 2,200 receiving yards.
Yeah, it'd be tough not to. It would be tough not to, because at the moment there's not a... There's not a huge front runner, is there, for MVP at the minute? There's conversations between it being Josh Allen, Hurts, Mahomes. But like you say, if he continues to do it, which he's doing every week he's got 140 plus, it definitely could happen. So we'll keep an eye on it. He was not in any of our predictions, but you're probably right. He could get there. So yeah, as usual in this week 9 episode recap, the city that never sleeps, we are going to bring some of our major segments. Very much aware that the week finished quite a while ago now. This one's on me, unfortunately, for those that have been asking when the podcast is going to come out, because believe it or not, Dave, people actually sit waiting for our podcast. Would you believe it?
I don't believe it, no.
Well, they do, because they message me on Instagram. So for those that are waiting, this one's coming a bit later, and that is because, as we've already said, I was in New York City and Dave has been up in Scotland training. And so we're coming a bit later, but we are going to bring a quick recap of the games this week. We're going to bring our famous slap or sign, and then we're going to hit a final birthday segment for you, Dave. I've prepared a little birthday quiz. And if you win, you win a birthday present. And if you don't, you shit out.
Okay. And for that segment, I will be in my birthday suit.
In which case, I shall be switching my camera off.
I'll send you a screenshot.
Thanks. Right. Firstly, let's get straight into it and let's dive into opening segment. Have you been sandpapering those calluses on your hand, Dave, to make for the smoothest of slaps this week?
My hands, due to the adverse weather that I have been out in, look like wrinkly ball bags.
Well, nobody wants to get slapped by a wrinkly ball
bag. My hand looks like the scrotum of a 98-year-old homeless Armenian man.
That is absolutely gross. In which case, this could potentially be the worst slap of somebody's life.
Like getting hit by an empty speed bag. An empty, crusty speed bag.
Oh, grim. Okay. Thanks for that mental image. And we move into slap or sign. So, Dave, NFC, who are you going to sign this week from the NFC? Who are you going to spare the wrinkly ball bag hand, and who are you going to sign to your team?
I'm signing a man who has probably never been signed in his life to anything other than ridiculous contracts. A man by the name of Kirk Cousins.
Herky Jerky Kirky.
He led the Vikings to another win.
Yeah. Another win.
I want to call them the rejuvenated Windsox, who under the tutelage of and the guidance of Tyler Heinicke, however you say his name, they look a far better football team.
They do, don't they? It's weird.
Kirk Cousins got the job done. What are they now? 7-1?
They're 7-1. They've only lost one.
Yeah, so they're 7-1, lead the NFC North. And he threw 265 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. As usual, Jefferson got his 100+.
Mm-hmm. Standard.
But I think Kirk Cousins is doing a good job of just steadying the ship, not trying to do too much, which I think Josh Allen's been guilty of these last couple of weeks. And he's just guiding them to that promised land, which is the NFC North title.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's been a few memes about Kirk Cousins after the game this week because he's put in a clutch performance for the first time in a while, and led the Vikings to a late win. But there's been some memes, aren't there? Of I think they put all the guys on the plane on the way home. Put all their gold chains on him, and he took his shirt off. He's pretty stacked, to be fair, Kirk Cousins is. And he did some weird, I don't know what dance it is, but he did some weird like ghetto dance with a load of chains and a baseball cap on. He looks like the whitest man on the planet still. But yeah, at least he's got some bants.
Yeah, he's got abs as well. Bants, yeah. And abs.
Yeah.
I've got one of those. I've only got one of those, and it's not abs.
I've got neither. So don't worry about it. yeah, nice. Well, yeah, I can't refute that. Kirk Cousins is doing, like you say, exactly what he needs to do. He's that steady ship amongst a very talented Vikings team. I think the main thing about the Vikings is, not to get into it too much, but they won this game, obviously, 20-17. And with Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, and then on the defense, they've got the Danielle Hunter, Eric Kendricks. You know, they've got other splash players, Harrison Smith in the secondary. If all of those guys just play good football, as in they don't play to their best potential, but if they all play 75% of what they can play, they're going to smash teams every week because they are all phenomenal players. And as long as you've got them all cooking, you don't need to give Dalvin Cook, excuse the pun, but you don't need to give Dalvin Cook 30 carries, you know, for 190 yards and then watch him get injured. You don't need to throw at Justin Jefferson 15 times. You know, Cook's got 17 carries, Jefferson 7 receptions, but they're putting those yards up, and then the defense is doing what it needs to. It's a 7-1 team that's probably the quietest 7-1 start for any team I've noticed in the last few years.
Yeah.
So, watch out. Okay, Kirk Cousins signed. Lovely. Now, NFC slap. Who's getting the ball bag?
I think we already know it is. is a man who I've slapped multiple times this year, and I will continue to slap him, as I've said, until he starts putting in one of his performance that has led into multiple MVPs.
You are the man of you are a man of your word if you are slapping him again.
Aaron Rodgers is getting it.
Aaron Rodgers. Can I stop you?
Yeah.
Because I'm also slapping Aaron Rodgers, so we can hit this one with a double slap. We can take my NFC slap off the board when you come around to it, and let's just talk about why we're both slapping Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he threw the ball 43 times for a completion percentage of just over 50%. 23 completions out of 43 throws. Not good enough. 291 yards and a grand total of 9 points.
And three of those completions were to who? The opposite team.
Yeah. He's beyond woeful at the minute. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he needs to fix up, look sharp, and get a grip real bad.
He had a passer rating of 53 this week, which I can't imagine it's a career low, because he's had some bad games in his illustrious career. But 53 rated passer rating, three interceptions, was sacked 8 times, and like you say, just over a 50% completion rate is just awful. There was not a single receiver on the Packers that had more than 50 yards receiving. That was actually Alan Lazard, who had 10 targets for 47 yards, which is awful. Aaron Rodgers is in a world of pain from a receiver perspective. Lazard, Degara, Tonyan, these guys are not world beaters, but there's teams out there doing better with less.
He's
got, Giants.
He's got no excuse. He's got two star running backs. He might not have a world beater at wide receiver anymore, but it just shows you how inept their coaching is. That they don't change the playbook to counter the fact that they haven't got the receiver that they could just throw 15 times to, and he can do what Devontae Adams does. They've not got him anymore, so they need to rely on that running game more. They're not doing it. And just look, it's not as though he had to throw the ball 43 times because they were getting blown out. The Lions put 15 points on them. You're telling me that the Packers aren't capable of putting up more than 9 points?
Yeah, it's awful.
Pathetic.
And like we said before, yeah, it is a joke, because the only thing that's changed on that Packers team, and I know that they had a few injuries this week. Aaron Jones went down, Rashawn Gary, but that doesn't take away from the offense too heavily. You know, that they have only lost Aaron Jones. Only lost Aaron Jones. I mean, not Aaron Jones. Devontae Adams, sorry. At the start of this year, they lost Devontae Adams. They didn't do anything to address it. That's a coaching error. They didn't really do much in the draft. They have drafted somebody, but they've not done anything to address it. And even in free agency, even in the trade window that has just recently closed, apparently they went in for Claypool, and apparently they went in for, who else got moved?
Darren Waller. They tried to get Darren Waller.
And then recently, I think it came to light that they also offered a first round pick for DJ Moore from the Panthers, which was declined. So they've tried to address it, but they've not been successful. And they just need to reevaluate. As you say, it's a coaching issue. They've got to find the way to get Aaron Jones the ball. He only carried the ball 9 times, and he got injured, yes, which meant that Dylan then only carried it 11 times. You know, Jamal Williams for the Lions carried the ball 24 times for the Lions. They only scored 15 points. So there's something wrong there. And actually, Rodgers tried to throw a pass to David Bakhtiari, his left tackle. And that was intercepted. That was his first interception, I think, or his second. They tried to run like a trick play, which was then going to get thrown to another one of his best mates, Bakhtiari. Now he's lost Devontae and Randall Cobb's not in the game. He's looking for his pals, and he just needs to look for players, not pals. Aaron Rodgers.
The Packers are going to be in a world of pain. because if they're scoring 9 points and they can't beat the pathetic Lions, I say that knowing that we play them in 2 weeks, the pathetic Lions, what are they going to look like when they've got Jordan Love there? So that team, because they've got zero cap flexibility, because they're like £60 million over the cap next year. And if Rodgers walks, they're going to be awful. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They shouldn't be.
They definitely shouldn't be. But you are right. You are right. There's something needs to happen, because with Rodgers and you're scoring 9 points, with any other quarterback, you're getting shut out.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's, I mean, he threw three picks this week, so he's especially awful. But it's it's not a good look.
That could be the norm if they get Jordan Love there.
It could be indeed. Well, sorry to say it, but Aaron Rodgers, you're going to keep getting one of these slaps off Dave until you do better. Fine. Over to the AFC, and I would like you to give me your AFC sign, please, Dave. Who's getting some love?
AFC sign is a man of whom I slapped last week, because he's finally turned up. Davante Adams, 10 receptions, 146 yards, 2 TDs. And basically all of that came in the first half.
It did.
I think they were making ultimately they lost the game because Derek Carr is dog turd. In fact, while I'm here, I'm slapping Derek Carr. So I can talk about them both.
Okay, go for it.
The same bit of paper that I'm looking
at. AFC sign is Davante Adams, and your AFC slap is Derek Carr, who I slapped last week.
Yeah, he's fucking atrocious. I don't know what's gone wrong with him, but you can't give him the best receiver in the game. He's got one of the best tight ends in the game. He's got a good running back.
One of the best running backs? Oh, yeah, a good running back, at least at the minute.
And he's got Hunter Renfrow as well. He's basically got two. He's got one elite receiver, one very good receiver, and a elite, when he's healthy, tight end. Mm-hmm. And he still can't beat the Jags. Like, what more do you need?
I honestly don't know. I don't know, and that's why I slapped him last week. It's a problem. Like, you can't have that kind of caliber around you and fail and expect it to be many other people's faults. I've got an opinion on someone else as well, but I think Derek Carr needs to get a grip, because he's going to lose his job. Because you throw Kirk Cousins into that role, you throw anybody into a receiving core of that caliber, wins.
He's not seen it. To be honest with you, I was torn between slapping him, slapping McDaniel, the coach, and then slapping Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, because they're all dog shit. I am so unbelievably happy that we've not got Patrick Graham anymore. Their defense, that the Raiders' defense is awful. They leak yards like no other team. And I don't know what this moff's doing, who's coaching him. He needs to fuck off back to the Patriots. Because that's what they all do. They just they leave the Bill Belichick why can't I say his name? Bill Belichick tree.
Belichick?
Yeah. Put my teeth in. Getting old now. They leave his
They leave that scheme,
that's the scheme that works when it doesn't really. It was Tom Brady that was making it work. Go to a team for a couple of years, get sacked, and then go back there. You know what? He's an absolute moth. There's no way this is working there.
No, everything looks bad for the Raiders at the moment. Everything. They can't be sat with the record that they've got in the NFC West, AFC West. They are 2-6, and they were at the start of the year. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'll put it out there to everyone who's listening. I put a bet on at the start of the year, before any games had started, I think in pre-season, I put a 10, it's only 10 quid, but I put a £10 bet on that the Raiders could win the Super Bowl this year. And it still exists. It's still there, floating in my Sky Bet account. I'd imagine the odds now, if I put it on now, I'd probably get 6 million back as opposed to, I think it was like 500 or something. But at the start of the year, I thought, you know what, sleeper team, Raiders could all gel and they could win a Super Bowl. Absolutely no chance.
Well, you are right. They are a sleeper team because they are sending everybody to sleep who watches them because they're that boring.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so that was a nice merger of slaps and signs and things like that from your side, Dave. Love it. But that's all of them done.
Yeah, it was more me being idle because all the stats were on the same page.
If it works, it works.
The story of my life.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Perfect.
Should we go to mine?
Yeah, so we've already had your NFC slap, so can you give me your NFC sign?
Indeed I can, and this is such a surpriser. So I slapped Aaron Rodgers, the same as Dave, but I, this week, I'm going to sign a player that if you'd have told me at the start of the year I would sign in any given week, I'd have said, no way, no hope, the guy's garbage, absolutely toss, never going to make it in the league. Do I think that still stands? Maybe. But this week, you cannot take it away from him. So this week, I am signing from the NFC, Justin Fields, quarterback from the Chicago Bears. The Bears, Justin Fields broke an NFL record in this game. And I think that's probably why it just pushed me over the edge to sign him, because there was a couple that I was playing with to maybe sign from the NFC. But Justin Fields broke Michael Vick's single game, regular season game, rushing yardage for a quarterback. Fields ran for 178 yards in this game, which is madness for a quarterback. Lamar Jackson's not done it. Josh Allen's not done it. Russell Wilson's not done it. Cam Newton's not done it. All of these elite rushing quarterbacks back in their day. Justin Fields, he's gone to the top of that list. He's beaten Michael Vick. I think the only player that has had more, I could be wrong actually, but I think it's because they said in a regular season game. I think in a playoff game, I think Colin Kaepernick had over 200, I think. But in a regular season game, Justin Fields, 178. One of those was for a touchdown. He also threw three touchdowns as well and no interceptions. He had a passer rating of 106. This guy just had a day, just a day. And he only threw the ball 17 times. He only threw for 123 yards. It's not a lot, but he did what's needed. Three tutties through the air, one on the ground. What more can you ask for?
Nothing. 178 yards is unbelievable.
Mm.
Off 15
for a quarterback.
Carries. I get it.
Yeah.
It's easier for a quarterback than it is a running back because it's not as expected. And he's already got the ball in his hand, do you know what I mean? He can mm-hmm. identify them gaps and stuff. But if it was easy to do, a lot of people would have done it. And they haven't.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Kudos to him. I think, and we said this maybe like 3 weeks ago when we're watching the Bears game. I can't even remember who they were playing now, but it might have been they were playing the Giants. And I said that he needs to walk into that coach's room, punch his coach in the throat, and say, "Listen, ball bag, my strength is the ability to run out of the pocket. Why are you designing nothing for me that allows me to do that?" Shot.
No, it's true. Doing I remember that. You
and
saying
that,
it.
And he's putting 32 points up, so they've gone from being last probably in the league on in total offense, whatever, to now like climbing that table because Claypool did literally nothing for him. So he's using his feet, and that's he's getting the job done. So well, he's not getting the job done because they still lost, but they lost to a very good Dolphins team.
They did. It the loss kind of did take the edge off Fields as achievements, I suppose, but nevertheless, to break an NFL record, to look like he looked in that game, it's a positive for the Chicago Bears fans at the end of the day. If I was a Bears fan, I would be in despair right now, or I would have been until last week, or until this week has just come, because Justin Fields was not getting the type of support that he needed. You hit the nail on the head with it a couple of weeks ago, Dave. I remember you saying it and just saying, look, they need to be giving this guy the ball. They need to be doing Lamar Jackson stuff, design runs, QB draws, this, you know, or QB power runs even, just to get the guy in open space. Because when he goes, he fucking goes, man. The guy is rapid, like almost Lamar Jackson quick. So, yeah, they are they're doing the right things if they're going to start playing that way. And as soon as you open that up, then it just opens what happened in this game up. And that is, when he didn't take off, everyone was suckered into the run, and he leaking his tight ends out into the backfield and dumping it off for a couple of touchdowns. That's all you need. That's all you need to do. So Justin Fields is getting my love this week, which is
good.
Weird. Feels wrong to say.
No, it's good. It feels, that's what I mean. We're not biased on this podcast, people.
We're not.
We like to give the love.
We're not.
Love. I like to give the hate to the exact same person. Maybe we are biased in the Aaron Rodgers hate department, but yeah, it is what it is. Sweet.
Mm.
Right. Who is your AFC sign?
My AFC sign goes to a man who had 5 touchdowns this week in a game. Joe Mixon for the Cincinnati Bengals. There's no way that I couldn't sign him this week. He went absolutely off. I mean, to score 5 touchdowns in a game is ridiculous. And the way that he did it, he had 4 on the ground, 1 receiving. I nearly, because of Joe Mixon, I nearly slapped myself this week, and I'll explain why. Because of Joe Mixon, I nearly gave myself, it would have had to be a non-FC slap, but I nearly slapped myself because I left him out of my fantasy lineup this week. Can you believe it? People who listen to our podcast and do NFL fantasy, imagine having Joe Mixon this week and not having him in your team. It was absolute hell on earth for me to watch. I won fantasy in the end, so, and the Seahawks won, so I did the double, but that's not the point. I was fuming with myself for the entire game week until I'd secured the win, because it was very close. But Joe Mixon had like 53 fantasy points in our game, and the guy just dominated, and he's not done that all year. It's exactly what I've been waiting for him to do. And he wasn't in my team when he did it. But nevertheless, you know, Mixon shows that any given Sunday, there's a reason why he's there all down, every down back. And he had 5 touchdowns, 153 yards on the ground and 60 through the air. Demolished the Panthers. He actually made the Panthers look like a college or CFL team. They looked fucking dog shit.
Yeah, I mean, they were at half time. The Bengals were 35 points at half time. That could have been and the Panthers had none. That could have been a 17-0 game if the Bengals had kept the foot on the gas. Which I think you have to do against bad teams. I think if you're in a position like the Bengals where they're 5-4, if you put the gas down against an absolute trash team, it'll give you some good morale going forward. But got the job done. Joey Burrow was clinical. Well, I say clinical. He was error free. 22 completions of 28, and Mixon just demolished him, didn't he? So
yeah.
Fair play to
full takeover. Full takeover from the Bengals.
What about your AFC slap, finally?
So my AFC slap ties ties in with the Raiders love and hate that you gave out this week. I was quiet a little bit when you were talking about it, but I am slapping the man that you spoke about, and I am slapping the Raiders head coach, Josh McDaniels. I don't understand how the Raiders are doing this, but they are doing it. When you look at the games that they've had and you look at some of the points that they've given up, they've had like a 17 to 20 point lead in four of the six games that they've lost. And they somehow have managed to lose every single one of them. And that's just unforgivable, I think, in the world of football, when you've got to win, when you're in a conference that's as tough as them, and a division as tough as theirs. You know, you've got the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. And the Raiders are up by 17 or 20 points in some circumstances, and they can't get the job done. It's an issue. And it's an issue on offense. It's an issue on defense, because the Raiders put up the 20 points that they scored in this game in the first and second quarter, and they were shut out in the third and fourth by the Jags. Shut out by the Jags. And the Jags are not that good, because the Jags are 3-6 and the Raiders are now 2-6. So technically the Raiders are worse than the Jags, because the Jags have got more wins. This is a problem. And as you said, Josh McDaniels needs to just probably reevaluate all these coaches that feel like they can step out from under the wing, the very old bingo wing of Bill Belichick, need to just realise that actually they're probably just best suited doing the job that they're told to do, because otherwise they just end up crawling back as a linebackers coach or a defensive support coordinator or a lace offensive shoelace coordinator or whatever they might end up being back on the Patriots when they've fucked it up elsewhere. I bet they all have to kiss his old wrinkly feet before they can come back into the Patriots facility, because all of them think they can do it on their own and then they can never do it. And Josh McDaniels is just another one of those, just another Patriots protege who's going to fuck it up with a very good team.
Yeah, well, I think he's already done it. He was at the Broncos, I think, when the Broncos drafted Tebow, was it?
Tim Tebow? Oh, Tim Tebow, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I think he drafted him there, and he was about as much use as fucking, I don't know, I've said it a million times, about as much use as wingbears on a submarine. Absolute useless wannabe coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And so the Raiders season looks in massive despair moving forward.
It's over. Yeah. They've got no chance of making the playoffs. Not a chance. Because the teams that are in their division are all better than them.
Yeah. I mean, the Chargers are 5-3. The Chiefs are obviously 6-2. And the Broncos are not doing great, but there's a potential. So they're not making the playoffs, as you said. They're just not.
Nope.
Cool. Okay, slap or sign is over. So we will now move into a fast recap of the games last week. The first game that we'll talk about is the Eagles versus Texans. So the Eagles beat the Texans 29-17 in this one. Jalen Hurts threw for two touchdowns, 243 yards. It was more even than I expected in the first half. I think in the first half it actually finished even. It was 14 all going into the third quarter. The Texans did a good job of sort of stifling the Eagles. They turned them over once. They made things a little bit awkward for Jalen Hurts, but as the game just continued, they just imposed their will just a little bit more and a little bit more and stopped the Texans from scoring, and they turned them over and the defense came to life. And in the end, the Eagles go to 8-0, the only undefeated team still in the NFL. And they were just too much for the Texans, too much. And I wonder if the Eagles are just too much for everybody at the moment. Do you think they've got a chance of a perfect season, Dave?
No. Oh, yeah. They've got a chance, but I don't think...
You don't think they will?
I think this Texans game is enough to show that... I think they've still got to play... I think they've still got to play the Ravens, have they? I think they've got the Cowboys,
the Ravens, you guys.
Yeah, we've got to play them twice. I mean, I think they are ultimately a better team than us, but we play everybody close. So we shall see.
We shall. But the Texans fall to 1-6-1. They're exciting absolutely nobody at the moment, and I think it's probably time that they just start locking to the draft already for next year, because this is a real problem. And then on Sunday we started with the early games. The Chargers played the Falcons, and the Falcons played the Chargers very close. It actually looked like the Falcons were going to win at one point. They went 10 points up in the first quarter, but then things leveled out onto a bit of an even keel. But both of these teams are just so average. You know, I would say they are so distinctly average. The Chargers are 5-3. The Falcons are 4-5. Nobody in these games, like, how often do we talk about a Chargers or a Falcons player?
No, and this is what I'm saying. Herbert, I don't care what anyone says, Herbert is above average at best. He's overrated. Yeah. He's the most overrated player in the league.
Yeah, he's not playing well at the moment, is he?
I don't think he's played well ever. He's had good games and he's got a big arm.
Yeah.
He can run with the ball, but what's he won? Everybody's ready to crown him as a top five quarterback going forward. Is he?
He's not even made the playoffs, I don't think, yet, has he?
Nope.
No. So, average.
He's the most overrated player.
Some would say scum. Some would say that Herbert is definitely not turning out to be the superstar that everyone thought he was going to be when he stepped in for the punctured lung of Tyrod Taylor, but. Yeah, the Falcons are exactly the same. You know, Marcus Mariota is exciting nobody. The only thing that they've got going on their team is Cordarrelle Patterson, who came back with a big angry run for a touchdown in this game. So yeah, average on average. Then we've spoken about the next game. The Dolphins blasted the Bears. Well, I say blasted. They put 35 points on the Bears, but it felt like a blasting, because it just looks like Tyreek Hill and Tua and Waddle can just score. Like, whenever they want to, it just looks like if they need to score, they can score. If they need to come back, they can come back. They scored 14 unanswered points in the third quarter to just pull away, basically. And then it was a case of just keeping the Bears out. And Tyreek Hill was seven catches, 143 yards. There's a reason why you signed him last week, Dave. There's a reason why you could have signed him again this week. Anybody could have, because He's just absolutely killing life. 143 yards every week is 140 plus. It's nuts. And Jalen Waddle looks great as well.
Yeah, they're a nightmare, them pair. And I think that game was a complete game of opposites when you think about the offense. One offense is a very run heavy. The other is a dominant passing offense. And the passing team won the game at the end of the day.
Yeah. 35-32. Bears go to 3-6. Dolphins go to 6-3. The Panthers got shellacked by the Bengals. We've spoke about it. 5 tutties from Mixon, 1 thrown by Burrow, 1 ran in by Burrow himself as well. The Bengals go to 5-4, 42 points to 21 against the woeful Panthers, who looked woeful as well in that game. Defensively looked awful. They scored what can only be described as garbage points in the third and fourth quarter. They put Baker Mayfield back in. He threw some touchdowns to like janitors and people who've barely laced their boots up this year. It was wank. The Bengals took all their starters out in the fourth quarter, pretty much. Not good for the Panthers. They are in turmoil. They, again, another team just begging for the draft to come around, but we're only halfway through the season. We move on to the Packers and Lions, which we've also spoken about. The Lions lost. The Lions beat the Packers 15-9. Terrible from the Packers.
Yeah. I'd rather have Ebola than watch the Packers play.
Ebola. Not sure I'd rather have a potential deathly disease than watch Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, each to their own, Dave, each to their own. Just 2 seconds. I think I ordered a McDonald's and it's just arrived. Chris, just cut this bit out for me. Oh, Cam's got it.
Cheers, Camo. Just bang it on the side for us, mate.
And we're back in the game. Sorry, Chris, just cut that one out. The Colts played the Patriots in the next game of that window. The Colts scored 3 points all game, the Patriots 26. This was a snooze fest. I'm not going to talk any more about it because it was woeful. The Patriots defense stifled the Colts, sacked the quarterback about 9 times. The Colts are shockingly shit and the Patriots are not much better, but they did beat them 26-3. Patriots go to 5-4. Colts go to 3-5-1 and they fired their coach and now they've hired an interim who's going to be even shitter. They're in a bad place. Poor Colts, but It was almost written in the stars as soon as Matt Ryan looked like he was just another version of Earthworm Jim. Vikings, we've spoken about as well. Kirk Cousins took on the Commanders. They played each other close as well. Commanders 17, Vikings 20. Commanders go to 4-5. Vikings move up to 7-1, running away with that NFC North. Probably taking the division, which was the pick of the year this year. I definitely said it at the start of the year. I'm not sure whether we spoke about it, but my pick for the start of the year was the Vikings, but I didn't think it was going to happen in this kind of fashion. I definitely didn't think the Packers would be so far beneath them, but they really are now. So good on the Vikings. And the Commanders, Winsox, whatever we want to call them, are looking a far better team now that they've got Heinicke steering the ship as opposed to the woeful Wentz. Oh, can we talk about this game anymore? I don't think so. The Raiders. The Raiders losing to the Jags. 27-20, Dave. We've covered the Raiders entirely. But the Jaguars, this was a good game for the Jags, I think. You know, they didn't play too badly. Giving up 20 points means they played relatively okay on defense after they gave up some big yards to Devontae. But Travis Etienne looks like the real deal at running back for them.
Yeah, and it's that connection, isn't it? That Clemson connection between him and Lawrence. Etienne looks, it's a little bit of a shame that he had his rookie year robbed off him, but hopefully he continues playing the way he does. But no, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, like you say, this is technically his rookie season because he was injured before the start of last year. So he's probably not getting enough credit as he deserves, considering this is his first actual year in the NFL. He had 2 touchdowns in this game with 109 yards. He's caught touchdowns out of the backfield as well. And Lawrence looked pretty good. The Jaguars, albeit they're still shit, I think that they are slowly building a team that could quite quickly turn good, if that makes any sense. I think that right now they're not great, but at the flick of a switch, if things start to work, they could be a good team in a year's time.
Yeah.
the Buccaneers just beat the Rams 16-13. Both of these teams are playing boring, uninspiring football. 16 points by the Bucs, 13 by the Rams with the kind of players that they've got in their teams. And this wasn't a case of, oh, well, both teams have got a stifling defense and so it was a low-scoring nail-biter. It was just shit, just awful. Tom Brady doesn't look good. Matt Stafford doesn't look good. You know, they've got so many good players on this pitch. Mike Evans is doing sweet wind. It's not a good look for anybody. The linebackers of the Buccaneers don't look great. They're not the powerhouse that they were a couple of years ago. The pass rush is not getting there for the Bucs. Aaron Donald has disappeared into the abyss. Bobby Wagner, since leaving the Seahawks, has been very average, apart from a pretty cool block of a field goal that he did this week. There's just nothing. Both of these teams, the Rams are 3-5. The Bucs are 4-5. What's going on?
crazy. The Rams, I think, is the craziest because they don't. It's not as though they've lost loads of players. They've essentially added players. They've lost Von Miller, I think, which is a big loss for them. And the fact that Ndamukong Suh hasn't been signed by anybody yet, I think, is insanity because the Bucs are missing him so badly in that defense, stopping the run. I would love to pick Ndamukong Suh up.
No, that's a really good shout. It's a really good shout because they are getting dominated. So snooze fest from two teams that last year were absolutely outstanding. Monday Night Football came along and this was not what was expected, but it was a good game. I watched this one in its entirety and this was the Chiefs taking on the Tennessee Titans against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Titans kind of bested the Chiefs for the early part of this game. They put 14 points up early. The Chiefs were held to field goals and touchdowns without extra points that were missed and things like that. But the Titans always play the Chiefs close, but the Chiefs have always had the opportunity to come back and kind of come from behind and still get the win. But the Chiefs ultimately were just slightly too good for the Titans to hold out for the entire game. This one went to overtime and the Chiefs managed to win with a field goal because they managed to stop the Titans and that was it. So, I mean, Mahomes threw the ball 68 times in this game, Dave. 68.
Yeah, incredible.
That's a lot of throwing. And he had 43 completions as well for 446 yards, but he kind of ran the show even without running the show, if that makes any sense. He didn't look great. He didn't play well, but he still threw for 450 yards and a touchdown and he ran one in. He was running and scrambling all over the place to get first downs, a little bit like Josh Allen was. And the Chiefs got the win in overtime, 20-17. The Chiefs go to 6-2. They needed to. That was a big win against the Titans in that AFC chase. And the Titans, they looked better than what I thought they would. And Derrick Henry looked pretty good as well, as he usually does. The Ravens then played on Tuesday against the Saints and they beat them 27-13. Ravens defense came to play. I nearly signed Justin Houston this week. He's had some miracle elixir from fucking the... I don't even know from by Voice Arcade. My Alexa just started talking to me when I said elixir, which is just strange.
Sorry, I didn't understand your request.
It's okay, Alexa. You don't have to understand my request.
Tell her to stop gobbing off.
Stop gobbing off. There we go. I've just muted Alexa. Sorry. Such a weird thing that, isn't it? I said elixir and then she starts chatting shit. Shut up. But yeah, I think Justin Houston has gone back like 10 years. He had two and a half sacks, two tackles for loss, an interception. He did everything. And the Ravens just put a beat down on the Saints, beat them 27-13. Very, very good performance by the Ravens defense. Pretty average performance on their offense, if I'm being honest. They didn't look like they were too high octane, but they're still getting the job done. 6-3, still a good record. Things are good. And as I said, I went to see the Bills play the Jets and the Jets won 20-17. The Jets looked really good, actually, Dave. In person, their defense looked fast. It was playing quick. Sauce Gardner picked off Josh Allen. Their run game looked strong. Offensive line looks good. And Zach Wilson was just getting the ball out really fast. I've never seen him do it before, but he was just throwing like wide receiver outs, quick screens, wide receiver screens, running back screens, basically just not letting the Bills get to him, which is, you know, always a good sign for victory. But they put everything right. They put everything right in that game. The Jets did. They went down early and didn't lose faith that they could still stop the Bills. And that's exactly what they did. Josh Allen, for the first time this year, I could have slapped him as well this week, nearly did, because watching him in the flesh was, I was disappointed. I was going to that game, sitting in MetLife, ready for a spectacle that just never came. it was a very low scoring, tough game to watch. As good as it was, and the atmosphere was fantastic, but Josh Allen threw two interceptions, no touchdowns. He ran one in, or maybe two, actually. I think he ran two in with his legs, but that's what he was having to do. The Jets totally took his options away, totally shut Stephon Diggs down, even though he had 93 yards. Just never looked like he was getting shit done. And the Jets won 20-17. It was really, really interesting game.
Yeah, I think that could have damaged Josh Allen's MVP number one spot for me. I think I would now put Mahomes ahead of him.
Yeah, I would as well.
Mahomes hasn't had a game like that this season where he was effectively neutralized. Not neutralized, but he just didn't. Mahomes hasn't had a bit of a meltdown game. Well, I think Allen just couldn't get the job done this week.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Mahomes has looked poor at times, but still managed to get the job done. Whereas if Allen had won this one and they'd have won 17, or if they'd have won 20-17, you'd be going, okay, he had through two picks, but he ran to it himself. He found a way. He found a way. Mahomes always or often tends to find a way. And I agree massively with you with the fact that the Bills, this performance, I watched Josh Allen throw an interception, which baffled my mind. I was like, what on earth was he looking at? Because he threw it straight to a Jets defender, whether he was colorblind for a second, his retina stopped working, I do not know. One of the picks to Sauce Gardner was fair enough. He threw a ball, it was picked, Sauce made a move. But the first pick he threw of the game was when they were marching down the pitch, they should have just scored. And if he'd have kept hold of it, ran out of bounds, whatever, he wouldn't have thrown the pick, but he just threw it straight at him. Very, very, very questionable. And then thereafter, I think that was it. It was in his head and he flopped it. Big flop of that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good. And I agree. I mean, I put Mahomes in at MVP last week, and that just even more solidifies it for me this week. And that's all the games apart from my boys, the Seahawks. The Seahawks swept the Cardinals this year, 31-21 in the game this week. And I can't be more happy about it, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I was very happy to watch this one unfold, and I only managed to watch the second half live because I was watching the game at MetLife. But Geno Smith, 275 yards, two touchdowns. He did throw a nasty pick six, and that was just a timing issue, I think, with him and the running back, and a great play made by the defender. But it was a silly pick. He shouldn't have thrown it, shouldn't have thrown the ball. Error. But he doesn't make many, and that's it. If you're going to get one pick every couple of games with Geno Smith, but he's going to throw two touchdowns a game, I'll take it. I'll take it all day. His pass completion percentage is still up there. And big Kenny Walker. Kenneth, the third, another 100-yard game with two touchdowns. Just he comes alive in like the end of the third, fourth quarter just to sort of see off games. And it's so good to watch. So good. I've not had since Marshawn Lynch, I've not had a running back that's taken over games like that, and it's just so good to watch. And so the Seahawks beat the Cardinals 31-21.
Yeah, I didn't expect I think the Seahawks are a better team than the Cardinals, but I didn't expect you to sweep them. I thought they'd steal one, but hey ho, good for you. What are you now? 6-1? Yeah.
We're 6-3 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6-3. Yeah. Seems a bit and feels a bit weird, but at the same time, the way that we're playing, I'll take it. I will take it because we're playing very good football. We're playing team football. We're not playing like it's anybody's individual effort. Geno's doing bits. Walker's doing bits. Lockett's doing bits. DK's doing bits. And then our defense is just slowly, it's far better than it was at the start of the season. And then this week, the Seahawks are playing for the first time ever in Germany. And that is against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Piss all over the Buccaneers.
Do you reckon?
I reckon you're going to put like a 40 burger on them.
You're joking.
telling you, I'm gonna have the Seahawks to win and score over 40 points.
That's a hefty bet if you put that on. I'd love that. I don't know. I feel like the Buccaneers are owed a comeback, and it would just be my luck that it comes back into this one. But maybe we'll see. They are playing in Deutschland, the Germany, and das should be sehr gut.
Das ist gut.
Das ist gut. And that's it. That's the recap. And we now move into Dave's birthday bash quiz. And I want to see how much you know, Dave. And
if you look at my GCSE results, the answer to that question is not a lot.
Not a lot. But this is the GCSE of football. And so maybe you know more than you think. I'm going to give you multiple choice questions, and it's all about leaders in the NFL. That's what it's about. Leaders in the NFL. And I want you to tell me who or what or how or why for a birthday present surprise, of which is yet to be determined. But you don't know what I brought back with me from New York, Dave. That's all I'll say. You don't know. It's not that. I've got tablets for that. That's gross. Okay, cool. Right, we'll get on to it. And it's not a New York Jets mug either. It'd be better than that. So question one. In the NFL, there are quarterbacks that have passed for many, many yards. I need you to tell me who has passed for 2,605 yards and therefore leads the NFL at the moment. The options are 1, Josh Allen, 2, Joe Burrow, 3, Patrick Mahomes, or 4, Tom Brady, a.k.a. the GOAT.
I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
Dave's gone for Patrick Mahomes. Our survey says... ding! I was waiting for a ding that never came in real life, but you are correct. It is Patrick Mahomes. He is the passing leader going into week 10 of the NFL. Another reason why he could potentially be the MVP candidate.
Nice.
Very, very well done. That's one of one, Dave. One of one.
Let's go. Feeling good.
Okay. Matthew Judon leads the league in sacks this year so far. But who is second in sacks, and that is with 8.5. You've got options of Mika Parsons, Za'Darius Smith, Justin Houston, or Nick Bosa.
I'm going to say...
I was going to give you a caveat. It's more than one.
More than what, one person?
More than one person have got 8.5.
I was going to say Nick Bosa, but they've been on a bye. So I'm going to say Mika Parsons and Za'Darius Smith.
Okay. So actually, it was 3 of those 4 people, and the only one who hasn't got 8.5 is Mika Parsons. Justin Houston, Za'Darius Smith, and Nick Bosa all have 8.5 sacks and are tied for second in the NFL in sacks behind Matthew Judon, which is ridiculous. So the fact that you said Mika Parsons, I'm going to have to say that is an incorrect answer, albeit you did say Za'Darius Smith, who does have 8.5.
Well, I think I deserve half a point then.
Okay, 0.5 a point. So you 1.5 out of 2. Let's
Andrew,
go with that.
That was a misleading question because you said it's more than one.
Okay, All right. 1.5 out of 2, I think, is pretty generous. Interceptions.
Oh, God.
Who leads the league in interceptions this year so far? Choices. Von Bell, Jordan Poyer, Harrison Smith, CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Poyer.
Our survey says... CJ Gardner-Johnson has got 5 interceptions this year, and Poyer's only got 4, unfortunately. Only got 4. So, team-wise, which team leads the league in turnovers total this year so far? The Bengals, the Vikings, the Ravens, or the Eagles?
The Eagles.
Our survey says Dave is correct.
Scumbags.
And it's not even close.
No, they're absolutely blowing it away.
Absolutely killing life. The Eagles have got 15. Or their turnover differential is 15.
Yeah,
which is mental.
They take it away and they don't give it away.
Yeah, 15. The next close is the Ravens at 7. Double. More than double, if my maths is correct.
It is. Well,
right, I'm going to give you 5 teams.
Yeah.
You have to tell me which of these is not in the top 5 teams leading the league in sacks. Okay?
Yeah.
The Cowboys, the Patriots, the Buccaneers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Buffalo Bills. Who is not in the top 5 of sacks out of that list?
The Buccaneers.
That is incorrect.
Oh, bollocks. Who is it?
The Bills are not in the top 5 of sacks this year. It is the Cowboys at the top, followed by the Patriots, Buccaneers, Seahawks, and then Ravens.
God, okay. The Seahawks are up there.
The Seahawks are in there. 27 sacks.
A bunch of geriatrics.
Oh, dear. Okay. Now, last 2 questions.
I ain't doing very well.
No, but maybe the last one's going to be all or nothing. No, so, I need from you the team that has got the most rushing yards in the NFL. And I'm only going to give you 3 options. The New York Giants, the Cleveland Browns, or the Chicago Bears.
Oh, that's tough because all 3 of them.
Let's go with, in fact, I'm changing the question. Who has more rushing yards per game? Averagely. The Giants, the Browns, or the Bears?
I think it's the Bears.
You going with the Bears? I've got to take your first answer. Well, because it's correct.
Weeks. Yeah, we've got a bye week, so it's not us. And I know Nick Chubb was leading the league in rushing, but I think the Bears, I've seen the Bears had the most rush yards, or averaged the most rush yards, but averaged the least passing yards.
Yeah, and it is the Bears. They are averaging 195 yards rushing a game.
Let's go.
Last question. What team is going to win the Super Bowl this year? The Seattle Seahawks, the New York Giants, or the Seattle Seahawks? You got to pick one. You got to get the question right as well, Dave, or you don't get a prize.
I'm going to say the, as you've done the quiz, I'm going to say the fucking New York Giants.
Oh, you know what? You're so close. You nearly won.
I'm going to pick the team that's clutching the Super Bowl as opposed to the one that throws it away, literally.
Okay, yeah. That's such a shame as well, that is, because you're incorrect. The actual correct answer I was looking for was the Seattle Seahawks. And that prize off the back of that one was going to be all expenses paid trip to watch the New York Football Giants take on the Eagles in a couple of weeks' time. But unfortunately, you're incorrect. And so you're going to get a New York Giants keyring and mug as a consolation.
I've seen your bank balance. You ain't afford it. You can't afford that.
It's true, especially not having been to New York this week. Oh yeah, no, that's what's put me in my overdraft, buying those key rings from fucking MetLife. No, of course the Seahawks and all the Giants are probably not going to make the Super Bowl, but you never know. You never know at this point in time. Both teams have won 6 games. One's only lost 2. One's lost 3. We could be in the mix, Dave. It's actually in the realms of possibility at the moment, some would say. And that's it. The birthday quiz is over. You're even older than you were at the start of this podcast, so enjoy that. And that's the end of the podcast. We can both go and get some rest. I'm jet lagged and you're lag jet. Nice. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This one has been our 9th or 10th podcast, The City That Never Sleeps, this week. And we will be back covering all the games a little bit more, a bit earlier than we have done it this week. Next week we'll be covering those. This week was a weird one because of mine and Dave's movements, but we appreciate you listening nonetheless. Thanks for checking in. Make sure that you go and follow us on all of our social media platforms at In The End Zone UK. Take it easy. Much love.
Peace.